Capital 90.4 FM.
South Africans have some of the world's longest working hours. As such, the workplace is often a fertile ground for office romances. Joining us to chat more about this is the director in the employment law practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, Gillian Lum. Gillian, good evening and thank you so much for your time.
Hello, Benito. That's a pleasure.
So, Gillian, what constitutes an office romance?
Benito, there's no formal legal definition, but it's typically accepted that it's a romantic relationship between two employees of the same organization or employer. And what's critical is that it involves consenting adults and it's not unwanted, because you want to draw a distinction between a romantic relationship and office romance and sexual harassment, which obviously one needs to be cautious about safeguarding employees from sexual harassment in the workplace.
Absolutely, and that's an important distinction to make there, Gillian. Thank you. With working changing so much as a result of the pandemic, that it may have an impact on these office romances.
I think what one has to accept is that more and more, there has been over the last couple of years, there's been an increase in office romances because the pressure on people with long working hours, potentially, there's more interaction between people over those extended hours. And I think with COVID and people working from home, that potentially there's even a greater increase in the hours that one's working. One may be working in isolation with limited social interaction other than potentially with your colleagues. And also with working from home and virtual meetings being held, people are potentially coming into your home environment, getting greater exposure to your personal life, maybe greater informality and getting closer relationships. But we have to accept there may well be an increase in romantic relationships within an office environment or in a working environment. And with that then comes the need for employers to reflect on, does one need to look at existing policies you may have relating to office relationships and whether they need to be amended or brought in line with virtual or working from home situations, which potentially you must update, or if you don't already have those policies, to develop those. So that even though employees may feel I'm working from home, you can't impinge on the privacy of my home environment, but an employer still needs to have policies to regulate that if it's going to impact on the working relationship and the employment relationship and potentially expose the employer to risk.
I suppose it all boils down to what is appropriate and what is inappropriate within the workplace. And this is where the employee plays quite a role in setting those standards of acceptable behavior. I presume there certainly needs to be buy-in and acceptance as well, Gillian.
Yes. I mean, what's very difficult in all of this is just balancing, an employee's right to privacy and not infringing on that. So obviously employees can have relationships that doesn't affect the environment and the employer shouldn't be getting involved in that. And that's what the employer needs to balance all the time, is ensuring that you're not invading someone's privacy, but at the same time safeguarding your employees from potential harassment from other employees and also safeguarding the employer from the risk that they may be. You know, whilst a relationship is ongoing, there shouldn't typically be issues in relation to that in the workplace. But where things sour often is where the challenges arise, where employees may then use power relationships with one another to take up an aggression after a relationship has soured. And that's often where the challenges lie.
Yeah, and potential conflicts can arise from that, as you point out as well. Are there any legalities around that when the relationship does sour?
Yes, I mean, once again, it becomes a consideration for the employer, when that relationship impacts on the employment relationship. So, when one can't discipline employees or take action where something's happening in the privacy of their homes or where it doesn't impact on the employment relationship. So typically, outside of the workplace, you can't get involved in it unless it impacts on the employment relationship. And that's what employers have to consider, is that potentially conflicts arise where an employee places their personal interests in conflict or high on a hierarchy above that of the employer. And that is often where, if someone has a relationship, there's a power dynamic, there's potential that when that relationship sours, that they use that power dynamic and they abuse their position, placing their own interests in conflict with the employer and exposing, once again, the employer's potential risk where someone says, you know, I'm now being subjected to treatment where I'm, for example, not getting access to promotional opportunities, or I'm not being granted increases, or this person is using a position to my detriment when they're assessing my performance because a previous office relationship romance that I've had with them has ended, and they're now using their position and their personal interests above those of the employer's interests. And then potentially an employer may have to take action. And what that looks like depends upon the circumstance of each case and also what's feasible for the employer. Sometimes an employer looks at using employees or transferring employees so that that power dynamic and the conflict of interest doesn't arise. But sometimes that's not practical. And then you may have to look at terminating employees' employment because of the impact it's having on the employment relationship and the use of a conflict situation then arises.
Will concise policies and possibly even internal training programs help mitigate against some of those repercussions, which, as you describe, can have some dire consequences, Gillian?
I think most certainly, Benita, that, you know, it's important for employers to consider that. And rather than, because I think we've got to accept that there may be an increase in the number of people who have office relationships, that, you know, to be proactive as an employer is important. Ensuring that you've got very clear rules in place for employees. And I think possibly it may be unrealistic to say, you know, a blanket, you cannot have relationships within the workplace, but rather if you're going to have a relationship, these are the rules that we have in place, and that employees then understand what the repercussions may be if they breach those rules. Mm. And then, as you say, critically training employees so that they also understand that, you know, an employer will ensure all the time that there is a divide between what is an office romance, where employees are comfortable and that romantic relationship is a wanted relationship as opposed to sexual harassment. So I think very often what's going to happen is employers need to ensure that if they've got a care policy, that they also then draw that distinction between the two and train employees on what constitutes sexual harassment, because you've got to keep balancing and ensuring that employees don't, particularly junior employees, are not feeling that they've been placed under pressure to have relationships with people more senior to them, where there may be favoritism or some form of quid pro quo for having that relationship. So training does become critical for employees to understand what is acceptable and where they may cross that line into sexual harassment where it becomes unwanted and poses a risk in the environment.
Yeah, it's important to draw that line in the sand, as you point out there, Gillian, to ensure that, yes, consensual relationships, there are policies around that, but we certainly are not going to stand for any form of sexual harassment. Does the law assist, Gillian, the employer in any way? You mentioned balancing those rights to privacy, particularly when now so many are working from home, in getting that balance right when trying to draw up a policy around office romances?
Yeah, so the law doesn't specifically regulate that, and you know, certainly in a South African environment, many employers have resisted for so long having people working remotely that, you know, often you're not equipped to be dealing with that. And that's why I think, you know, the shift needs to be made in ensuring that where you are looking at developing policies, that you specifically cater for the working from home situation, that you are ensuring that employees then understand that if you've got an existing sexual harassment policy, for example, that they need to appreciate that that will potentially be applied, even if they're sitting in the privacy of their home, when they're using company computers, when they're sending messages to colleagues, that all of that may, you know, if they send inappropriate messages to a colleague with sexual overtones that someone as a fellow employee takes offense to, that they can be disciplined for that. So it needs to be a clear message to employees that whilst you may be at home, our policies and our requirements are still to be complied with and adhered to by you. And if you fail to do that, that we can still take action, that you're not, because you're sitting at home, beyond the scope of what an employer can do and where you can discipline.
Gillian, employers, where could they get further information around this?
Certainly, you want to ensure all the time that you're complying with the amended code on sexual harassment. That becomes very important to making sure are compliant with that, because I say that's one of the biggest risks. And then to just ensure all the time that you're looking at your current policies and making sure that they're in line with the working from home situation.
Gillian Lum, Director in the Employment Law Practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Thank you so much for joining us in conversation this evening.
My pleasure. Thank you, Benito.
The Honest Truth. Met Benito Vergatini.